Welcome to the Third Generation Networking Podcast with your hosts, Debbie and Greg Peters. Hello, networkers, and welcome back to another episode of the Third Generation Networking Podcast. I'm Greg Peters, the reluctant networker, and with me, as always, is the networking guru, my partner, and my mom, Debbie Peters. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Greg. You know, I think I want to be the networking queen, maybe.
You want to be the networking queen?
Yeah.
Okay. Although actually, I think I was going through, I told you that my goal for this year, or my phrase for the year, is clean and uncluttered.
Yeah.
And so I was going through my bookcase, and Andrea Nirenberg, who has written many books about networking, she apparently is the queen of networking.
Oh, already, well, then so. I can't be it. Okay.
Yeah,
then
sorry.
I'll stay. All right.
So how are things going with you? Other than wanting to be the queen and not being able to get there. So.
Things are going well. It is January, and I still don't have my Christmas decorations down.
Why would you take them down?
I mean, you know, they're getting a little dusty.
Elizabeth actually took all the Christmas decorations off the Christmas tree and put up all of her crystals. So now it's the crystal tree. So it's
nice. Yeah. I'm thinking maybe tonight, although I have investment club tonight.
Yeah,
so I'd have to come home after that.
I understand. I understand. There's always stuff to get done with regards to it's so, you know, putting it up is kind of exciting. Taking it down is a little depressing. So
yeah, well, it's dark then.
Yeah, well, and I always, it always feels like I'm putting my children's childhood away. You know, it's like another Christmas has passed.
True. As right. I look at you guys.
What's that?
As you got, you know, the kids are now, all my kids are in their 50s. So yes,
well,
as the
true.
Childhood goes away.
Yeah. Our childhood has gone past slowly. So, all right. Well, I guess we should actually talk about networking at some point today.
We should, yeah.
So we were actually talking about a slightly different concept with regards to networking. And especially, you know, COVID is still going on.
I know. Can we breathe that?
Delta and Omicron, and now I've heard there's this Deltacron thing, and I don't know, it's just
yeah. And you know, I heard on the news a couple of nights ago that people who are immunocompromised, yes, thank you, should get a fourth booster.
They're talking a fourth booster already. Holy
yeah.
God, I just got my third and that wasn't any fun, so I don't know. So there is, you know, Zoom is still going to be around for a while. And yep. For some of us, I know I've been visiting a BNI, Business Network International, virtual group, which their intent is to stay virtual and be on Zoom all the time. So this question actually came from our good friend, Amy Cantor.
Yay, Amy.
Thank you so much. By the way, if any of you would love to, we would love it if we could get more questions from you. So please do feel free. The contact information is right there in the episode notes. We would love to hear from you because, you know, sometimes we run out of things to say.
Yeah, this is, you told me this is number 98.
This is episode 98. So,
we've talked about networking 98 different ways. So we need some help.
We don't want to repeat because we don't want to bore you, but okay. Anyway, the point that I was trying to make here, there's gonna be a lot of editing here. So we have the question is, you know, we got all these Zoom conversations are still going to be going on, these Zoom meetings. And the idea is not so much how to network at them, but there are times when we may have to present in Zoom. And I know some of you are thinking right now, well, this doesn't apply to me because I never have to do presentations. Well, you might still, I mean, there might be these, the chances to announce yourself at a networking event where in the past, in person, we would have called them pass the mics, where each person gets to introduce themselves. But now you either as a part of a whole group or in a breakout room, you may be expected to present. And I know with BNI, you have the opportunity to present a 6 or 8 or 10 minute educational moment to talk about what you do and how you could use help. So the question is, how do you do those presentations and still be effective?
Well, and you're the expert, so I get to ask the questions this time.
Yeah, right.
So is is making a Zoom presentation different than an in-person presentation?
Oh God, yes. it definitely is. You know, I'm a professional speaker, and speaking in person, I would so much prefer to speak in person. There is just an interactivity that goes with it. The, you know, you get feedback from the audience, you get energy from the audience, which you do not in general get from Zoom. So it's a much more difficult, because you don't have, first of all, you don't play off the audience, but also the audience doesn't play off each other. So there's a real lack of energy, to that. And so what we need to do is, first of all, work on bringing some of that energy back. And some of it has to do with being more interactive, finding ways that you can interact with the audience. Something I know that you do with our 21-21-21 program is you encourage everybody to leave their cameras on. You know, so why not do that? Tell them, you know, I would love to see your faces. And the cool thing is, at least with Zoom, the people with faces tend to float to the top so you can actually see them and interact with them. But yeah. Interact.
Well, you know, I've been on sessions where half the participants are, you know, just a black screen with their name. And it's, from a participant point of view, it's even a little off-putting, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree.
I want to be able to see who else is there and what their, you know, what their reaction is. And
well, and it's, you know, if you want to feel part of a networking, networking experience, not seeing, you need to see other people's faces in order to be able to do that. So I highly recommend, unless you can't, absolutely can't, have your camera on. So do encourage your audience to have their cameras on. But really you need to be interactive with them. I tell a story. Some of you probably have actually heard it before, about losing my child. No, not that one. It's about Disney confetti. And the experience and the magic that Disney provides over sometimes something seemingly very simple. Mm-hmm. And I have told this story to many different audiences, and I have actually had one audience member. He's from the military. He came up to me later and he looked me right in the eye with that serious military demeanor, you know, the eyes and everything, and said, he said, that story had better been true because you made me cry. But that was in person. And I still remember the very first time I told that exact same story in a Zoom environment. And I got to the end of it and it was crickets. You know, there was no response at all from the audience. And it killed me a little inside. So I've had to learn, you need to make it a little bit more interactive with the audience, let them participate in the process. So there's a point where I used to say, okay, you know, the kids went crazy. They had a wonderful, because they had just experienced magic. Well, now, instead of just saying it myself, I'd say they had just experienced Tiffany. What had they just experienced? And of course, Tiffany has to kind of get herself unmuted and everything, but then she comes out and says magic. And it's, you're drawing the audience into the story that way. And also, also telling everybody else that they could be called on at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
So they had better be paying attention. So.
Yeah. Right. So go ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, it's okay. That's a big thing. It's just figuring out ways to make it as interactive as possible. It's never going to be the same as in person, but as much as possible, bringing them into the conversation is the most important thing.
Okay. So I know that you've also mentioned that you've got to, if you are presenting, you have to up the energy level from, you know, I mean, you would have a high energy level if you're presenting in person, but you've got to be even higher on Zoom.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about that?
Actually, my good friend, Ann Bonney, she's a perfect exemplar of this. I mean, she just, you know, she exudes energy constantly, because and I learned this from her, actually, is that the kind of energy you need to have in Zoom is comparable to what you would have in front of an audience of 2,000 live. You need to fill the stage.
Okay.
Because if you don't, if you play small, there are so many distractions for them that, you know, literally your face is right next to their email. And they, it is so easy for them to start doing, you know, kind of turning to the side and start to focus on something else. So unless you are bringing that energy out, unless you are, you know, move your hands, move your body, if at all possible, if you can do it, make set up a standing situation where you get to actually stand and that you have more energy standing, because you're, let's face it, right now I'm seating in my office chair. My energy stops at my butt, because that's where the, you know, that's where the lowest point of movement is. But when you are standing, then your lowest point is all the way down at your feet. You get a lot more power that way. You can move in, you can move out a lot more easily than you can when you are just seated in front of the camera.
Okay. So, and if I think of, I know Anne also, and I, you know, could kind of hear her presentation style in my head. She uses a lot of short sentences. I mean, she'll tell a story, and you know, it might be a not lengthy, but it has a length, but it's quick. It's like boom, 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 yeah, is her style. And a burst of energy. And then she may be, you know, not quite so energetic, and then burst.
Right. You definitely need to have a dynamic range.
Yes.
I mean, if you're just shouting into the microphone constantly, you know, a volume at 10 constantly is the same as a volume at zero. It's not going to affect people. It's not going to bring them in. It's not going to energize them or activate their attention. But if you are talking like this and really excited and talking fast and then slow down, that's going to get their attention more, because there's that, that constant change, that constant audible difference that they are being made aware of.
Yeah. And, you know, back in the Toastmaster days, when I was a Toastmaster and every speech that was given during the meeting was evaluated, one of the evaluating points for the main people who were giving the longer speeches each time, each meeting, was called vocal variety.
Mm-hmm. You can get away with a little less of it when you're in person, because being able to look at someone eye to eye, you're capturing their attention. But when you are virtual, yeah, you've got to have that. The pauses, you know, give a little bit of silence in there for people to kind of catch up to you.
Like, yeah, like, oh, what did I miss?
Yeah, what I missed. but then you can get a little louder, then you get a little softer, faster, slower. You make those changes. It doesn't have to be practiced, but speak in an exciting way. So,
yeah. Okay. And then, you know, I'm such a technology whiz.
You are indeed. You have come a long way.
But there are technology issues with, you know, either Zoom or some of the other technology that's out there. So what are some basics that you keep in mind that really set you up for success?
Yeah, you can, I mean, obviously the technology, you can go from ultra basic to, I mean, Anne, we've seen Anne present before, and she has fairly complex setup where she can actually do like quick switches between her face and her slides, and actually do inserts where she's inserted on her slides or her slides inserted on it. It's really very fancy, but you don't have
to. But you know what? Her backdrop
is so simple. It's very simple.
I don't know exactly what room she's in. I don't know if she's in a lower level, but she just has a bar attached to her ceiling, like a shower bar. And she just has a shower
curtain. I think it's just a shower curtain with a particular pattern on it. And that's what she goes with. And Anne is tremendously successful as a virtual presenter. So, it does not have to be overly fancy. You know, in fact, your office, there's nothing wrong with having your office in the background. I would argue very much against virtual backgrounds. I find them distracting because the technology really isn't there yet. You can see the edges aren't right on the face, and you fade in and out, like suddenly your shoulder will disappear. So, you know, you don't have to do that. I mean, if you really want to, go right ahead, but I don't think it adds to your presentation. What I think does add is, first of all, your camera, try to have it at eye level if at all possible. Because if it's too high, then, you know, you're looking up to them. If it's too low, they're looking up your nostrils. And you don't want that. Lighting is important. You want your face lit so they can see it clearly. You don't want to be sitting in the dark. You want good audio. They'll even they'll excuse bad video, but they will not excuse bad audio. So yeah. If you are going to be presenting, you might want to consider, if you're going to be doing it on a regular basis, you might want to consider getting an external mic. Mom, you and I, we use the Blue Yeti, and it has been more than adequate to our needs. But if you don't have that,
and it's simple enough for Debbie,
basically you plug it in. it's pretty straightforward. It just works, but it gives you a much better sound than, you know, using your laptop microphone. I mean, if you have to use it, but really they're not that expensive. You can get a pretty decent external mic for less than a couple $100. So,
I'm sitting here thinking, a B&I meeting when we were all virtual during the really closed down of COVID. Our chapter has had about 40 people, close to 40 members. And the way the Zoom meeting was set up, and it didn't change because obviously it would have been, too much to change it every week, but it was just alphabetical by first name.
Mm-hmm.
So, the same, it was, whereas at an in-person B&I meeting, it kind of changes, where you're sitting.
It depends on where you're sitting, yeah.
Yeah. So Sierra Hutton obviously would be near the end after, 30 people had already given their 30-second commercial. So at that point, you're kind of, and she would change the rhythm, change the energy, and she would say, "Good morning!" And, it was just, she broke the whatever had surface tension. She changed it, and so everyone would then stop and begin listening to her if they had kind of gotten lulled into blah 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 blah.
This does not have to be for a 10 minute or an hour long presentation. This counts if you're doing a 45 second education moment at your local Business Network International. Get their attention. Give a little yell, whatever you got to do, but it's the energy you put into it that's going to make the success.
And so from what I'm hearing you say, my next question is my favorite, as you know, PowerPoint. So do you feel, okay, never mind.
No, especially online, I think PowerPoint can be useful. But we have to be careful, as with always the use of PowerPoint. It can't be just you reading it. If you are reading your slides, then there's no point of you being there. It's not interesting. The problem with if you put a lot of text on the slides is people can't listen and read at the same time. You can prove that to yourself. Just pick up a book and have someone try to talk to you. You can't do both at the same time. I think it probably has something to do with the fact that it's the same section of the brain that's having to do both tasks. So you want the slides to be an illustration or example of what you are saying, not the words you are saying.
Okay. All right. So what I'm hearing you say is, yes, Zoom presentations are very different than in-person presentations, and you better realize that. Use your vocal variety, whether it's tone, explosive speech, slow, fast, loud, soft, pause, whatever. Use that as much as you can. Engage your audience. Get them to say something. Get them to, what other things have you done to engage besides getting them to answer the final? We've done
all the things you've seen before. I've done polls. I call the chat check-in, where I'll ask a question and just have them get on the chat and start typing in their answers. All these things are things that, I think a lot of people use, and some people think they're a little hokey, but you know what? It keeps people engaged.
Right. Okay. So keep them engaged by getting them to do something, whether it's talk or get on the chat, and then make sure that your technology is up to snuff. It doesn't have to be recording studio, but get the best that you can, because then it makes you look better and also sound better.
And if you are really curious about such things, you can undoubtedly go on YouTube and find any number of tutorials on how to set up your home studio. So
yeah, Yeah. And because we're talking not only about the formal, you know, hour long presentation, but also the 45 second presentation, I want everyone to think about, does my background, and you've already kind of mentioned it, but does my background shine so brightly that my face is dark?
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many board meetings or that, those type of meetings that I've been on where the person who's leading the meeting, I can't see their face because they've got a window
directly behind them. So, you know, they're basically just a silhouette. So you have to be very aware. And I know that you actually put a curtain up in your office there because it was really washing you out too. That can make you look white and pasty. So you might have to learn a little bit of technology, but just, you know, because you do, most cameras have the ability to adjust how you look. And so play around with it. You can always go back to the default.
Okay. So I think that this is a great start. It's probably, you could talk about this forever. What do you think?
Oh yeah. Unfortunately, yeah, you can, because there's always a little bit more you can do. And there are a lot of people out there who are willing to help you out to do it as well. So don't assume you have to do it all by yourself.
Okay, good.
All right. Well, thank you, Mom. This is a sort of a turnabout where you are asking all the questions this time. So
I have power.
You have power. Didn't it feel good? I mean,
yeah.
So I want to thank you all for tuning in to the program today. If you enjoyed it, please do comment on our Facebook pages. The information is in the episode notes. Do share it with a friend, you know, because I know a lot of people are still doing Zoom. And so if they can find ways to be more successful at it, you are doing them a favor. If you'd like to hear more, of course, we keep coming back every single week, so do subscribe. And until next time, go out and make some great connections. Talk to you later, Mom.
All right, Greg. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Third Generation Networking Podcast with your hosts, Greg and Debbie Peters. If you'd like to learn more about our new virtual training programs, go to connextnation.com.